Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. The 2022 NBA draft is now in the books, and the Memphis Grizzlies were one of the most active teams on Thursday night. Three draft night trades that resulted in Jake LaRavia, David Roddy, Kennedy Chandler, and Vince Williams arriving in Memphis while D'Anthony Melton departed. The how, the why, and the what's next for the Memphis Grizzlies from the 2022 NBA draft on this edition of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Here we go.
You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome one and all to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. Hope wherever you are and wherever you are listening, you are having a wonderful start to your week and having a wonderful weekend in general. You can find myself at StatsSAC on Twitter. You can find the show at Locked On Grizz and right here on YouTube, hit that subscribe button below. My name is Sean Coleman, credential media member with the Grizzlies, have been the host of Locked On Grizzlies now for nearly 2.5 years. Your co-host here at Locked On Grizzlies, your Grizzlies every single day. Of course, my co-host, Michael Cole, will be with me in the near future to give his takes as well when it comes to the 2022 NBA draft for the Grizzlies in general. But when it comes to the Memphis Grizzlies, the big thing that stands out from the 2022 NBA draft is that the Grizzlies once again were one of the most active teams on draft night. This reminded me a bit of the 2020 draft. In that draft, the Grizzlies went into the night with only the 40th pick in their arsenal to make a selection, but they wound up coming away with the 30th overall pick and the 35th overall pick due to a few trades that they made along the way in order for them to be able to get the best return possible. Well, that was just what happened in this night as well. The Grizzlies came into the night with 22, 29, and 47 on Thursday night, and they left actually with four overall picks, but the only pick that they actually made that they came into the night with was Vince Williams. And that's another thing that stands out that is truly amazing. We'll get into the picks themselves in just a second. But Mark Giannotto of the Commercial Appeal and of 92.9 ESPN brought up a great point asking Zach Kleiman about it. Now Zach Kleiman and his front office have made 10 draft picks overall in the four drafts that he's been at the helm of the Grizzlies. The only two times that Zach Kleiman actually stayed and made his pick was the first pick he ever made, a guy by the name of Ja Morant, with the second pick of 2019, and the latest pick that he made, which was the 47th pick on Thursday night. The eight picks in between, Zach Kleiman has traded up and gotten the guy that he wanted. And that was a big theme from the media availability on Thursday into Friday that Zach Kleiman really pointed out. And you also saw it, you know, in the national, you know, pundits reaction, you know, when they we see the national analysts, they give their grades on trades, you know, they talk about, you know, does this really make sense, so on and so forth. Well, a consistent theme that you saw this year from a lot of the national outlets when it came to the Grizzlies draft was that at the end of the day, there's now the trend is now set. Zach Kleiman, regardless of how others will rate rookies, regardless of what it takes to get the players that he wants, he's going to go get his guys. And if the price is reasonable, he's going to pay it. And that's exactly what Zach Kleiman did. He discussed it on Thursday night when it came to Jake LaRavia. They were set on Jake LaRavia. That's the guy that they wanted, and they went and got him. You heard in the exchange, what now is a wonderful exchange between David Roddy and Zach Kleiman. Zach Kleiman mentioned this was the plan all along. He wanted Roddy, and he went and got him. Now, I don't necessarily know if that was plan A, plan B, plan C. We'll discuss that a bit later. But the point is that Zach Kleiman, when you look at the surface level of how the Grizzlies approached the draft, you look at the fact that they traded picks 22 and 29 for pick 19 to go get Jake LaRavia. And then they traded D'Anthony Melton for pick 23 and Danny Green, who basically is likely just going to be someone that the Grizzlies wind up releasing, waiving, what have you, in the near future to create cap space. The Grizzlies likely paid a premium. They probably paid a bit more than they had to go up and get picks, and they pick guys that they probably pick guys a bit higher than many of the national mock drafts and draft analysts had. But again, at the end of the day, even though the Grizzlies may have paid a bit more than some would have, they may have picked guys a little bit ahead of where others would have, the Grizzlies went after their players. And that's what stood out from the draft. In general, overall, the draft night trade, if you will, three overall trades. At the end of the night, the Grizzlies traded picks 22, 29, DeAnthony Melton, the 2024 Los Angeles Lakers picks, and cash. And in exchange, they got pick 19, which turned into Jake LaRavia. They got pick 23, which turned into David Roddy. They got pick 38, which turned into Kennedy Chandler. Tennessee ball, Kennedy Chandler. And also, they stuck with pick 47 for Vince Williams. So at the end of the night, 22-29, a future second in DeAnthony Melton for Jake LaRavia, David Roddy, and Kennedy Chandler was really all three trades into one. At the end of the day, that's pretty fair value. And at the end of the day, the Grizzlies also got depth where they needed it. The Grizzlies have come into the past two drafts wanting to get front court depth that was versatile. Zach Kleiman mentioned many times on both Thursday and Friday the term combo forward. They wanted the ability to have bigger bodies, lengthier bodies out on the perimeter, but who could also come inside, but guys who could play in the front court, get a little bit bigger on the perimeter, but guys that can also shoot. Again, we'll discuss that in just a moment. So he went into the past two drafts looking for both a certain roster to fill a certain roster need, as well as skill set needs with the best players possible, or with the players that he felt fit the way the Grizzlies wanted to play basketball as much as possible. And that's exactly what he did in this draft. So the first thing that stands out was, you know, the fact that the Grizzlies, who, you know, many have considered to be a team that needs to consolidate a bit, they come out of this night with four draft picks, which is fine. At the end of the day, I think that it was a solid draft for the Grizzlies. I would give it a grade of a B in terms of they got intriguing talents for parts of the roster where they needed help, skill sets that they needed help, or at the very least, they got skill sets that they now have on cheap contracts long-term to replace what they may lose in free agency, such as Kyle Anderson, Jarrett Culver, and others. But I do feel that it is okay also to be a bit critical of the Grizzlies draft. And what I mean by that is this. I do feel that if you would have said before the night, the Grizzlies traded the 22nd, 29th picks and DeAnthony Melton, I feel that it probably would make just as much sense or even more sense to see what type of reliable NBA talent the Grizzlies could have got for that package instead of getting more young depth of unproven rookies. That's one way to potentially see what could have been out there. And when I'm mentioning these different things that could have happened with the value the Grizzlies gave up and in terms of the return that they got, I'm sure the Grizzlies probably explored these options. But at the end of the night, they wound up going with rookies that they liked to bring into the roster that they can develop. One thing could have been using what they traded to get all these rookies on Thursday night, see what potential NBA veteran was out there. Could the Grizzlies have potentially put DeAnthony Melton, you know, if it took 22 and 29 to move up to 19, and then you traded DeAnthony Melton to get 23, could some combination of 22 or 29, or could some combination of 22 and DeAnthony Melton, plus maybe another asset not that was not the pick 29, could that have been put together to maybe move up to 16 to get an AJ Griffin? Grizzlies probably tried that. It just didn't work out. But I feel that may have been a better way to go about doing things. But at the end of the day, there always could be better ways of making things happen. Nothing that occurred on Thursday night was in any way, shape, or form. Should you come away from Thursday night? No one should come away from Thursday night as someone that follows the Grizzlies disappointed with what happened. We got a solid haul of young talent and areas of need for the roster that we needed to fill with skill sets that we know the Grizzlies can develop. That's a very good thing. Did it probably cost more than we thought that it might? Sure. Could the Grizzlies potentially have come away with similar value had they just traded stayed at 22 and 29 at 47? There's a good chance. But that's on the surface. The Grizzlies have more credibility right now than arguably any team in the NBA in terms of their recent drafts. So when it's said that Zach Kleiman knows the guys that he wants, and if the price is reasonable, he's going to pay it, you got to trust him. Because everything that he's done so far should build trust in that he knows what he's doing. And I want to make it clear, I'm not saying from this draft that you're just going to have to trust him. I'm not. My initial reaction to the 2022 draft is more positive than my initial reaction to the 2021 draft. I'll be honest, it is. And that one worked out just fine. Zaire Williams, I think, has a very significant upside for the Grizzlies. I'm still skeptical about Santi Aldama. But in terms of Jake LaRavia, David Roddy, and Kennedy Chandler, and Vince Williams, I think that you're going to find one or two significant talents from this draft class that stick with the Grizzlies long term. So at the end of the day, not a night that, you know, not the most exciting draft class, not the most pizzazz potentially, not the highest of ceilings that potentially could have happened. Perhaps you could have maybe instead of Roddy gone with a higher ceiling player to balance it out a bit. That may have been another way of making things happen. But at the end of the day, there's nothing negative. It was a solid draft night for the Grizzlies. And here's the other thing to remember. As the Grizzlies continue to evolve as a contender, it's going to be harder for them to be able to wow or pizzazz or, you know, hit an immediate home run in the mind of many on draft night because they just don't have as much open opportunity for rookies or they're not going to pick early enough to hit those home runs. It's going to become harder for the Grizzlies to hit home runs in drafts now and moving forward because they've hit so many already. And that's what stands out. So if you came away from Thursday night a little bit, you know, underwhelmed or mad or what it may be, I understand. I get it. I think there were ways, in my opinion, to where the Grizzlies could have got similar value and held on to De'Anthony Melton. But at the end of the day, they made moves that were sensible and they brought in skill sets that we know they can maximize. And that's what really stood out. Now, what specifically about these skill sets really make it make sense for the Grizzlies to have brought those players in? We'll discuss that in just a moment. Before we do, you know, we're talking about the future of the NBA, but why don't we talk about the past a little bit? Boom shakalaka. Does that ring a bell? Oh, we have big news. The one, the only NBA Jam is back. Arcade 1UP, the leader in at-home retro arcade games, is not only bringing the best NBA game ever back, but they made it bigger than ever with the, wait for it, Shaq Edition machine. If you're going to make something bigger than ever, the player that you need to include with it is Shaquille O'Neal. People are obsessed with NBA Jam. And I'm thrilled to tell our listeners that you can once again play hoops with NBA legends in this arcade classic. Jump clear across the court, set the ball on fire. In one of the first sports games ever to feature real and digitized NBA licensed teams. No fouls, no free throws, and no quarters required. Compete with friends and family through all new Wi-Fi leaderboards, making you more connected than ever. Pre-order now from arcade1up.com. That's arcade1up.com for an estimated early September ship date. Arcade1up is the place for fun. They've got even more classics like Golden Team, Mortal Kombat, and many others starting at just $399. Check this out. They are even giving away an NBA Jam Shaq edition to a Locked On listener. Enter for a chance to win a game console for your man cave at arcade1.com at Locked On. That's arcade1up.com/Locked On. You've got till July 8th to enter to win the NBA Jam Shaq Edition console. Don't miss out. Enter today. Who are you going to play with? Can't thank you enough for making Locked On Grizzlies your first listen of the day. And you want to keep it here going through next week. Not only are we going to dive a bit more into the rookie class that the Grizzlies have, but what could it mean from now on? We know that De'Anthony Melton is now no longer a part of the Grizzlies' plans, but what about others? You know, he was on a multi-year contract. The Grizzlies still have five contributors who either are free agents or have 1 year left on their contract. What could it all mean? We'll discuss that in depth coming up next week on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. So we know what the Grizzlies did. We know the players that they drafted. We know how they did it in moving around the draft board, trading some of their own picks, as well as De'Anthony Melton. But why did the Grizzlies go after the players that they did? Well, There's a couple of reasons in terms of Jake LaRavia and David Roddy. And then there's a bit simpler reason when it comes to Kennedy Chandler and Vince Williams. The two reasons why Zach Kleiman mentioned he went after Jake LaRavia and he went after David Roddy: shot value and roster versatility. Those are the reasons why he went after those two players. Earlier last week, and over at Grizzly Bear Blues, I wrote a piece about how the Grizzlies very much, very, very much value shot efficiency. Getting players who can contribute to the consistent goal of the Grizzlies finding the best shot possible on as many possessions as possible. The Grizzlies don't only want players who can hit shots regularly or create their own shots regularly. They also want players who display good decision-making regularly. Players who are not going to abandon the extra pass to get up a shot, and it may not be the highest percentage look that could have been gotten. And when it comes to Jake LaRavia and David Roddy, their efficiency when it comes to their scoring stood out just as much as their overall ability to score. Both players had over a 64% true shooting percentage last year for Wake Forest for LaRavia and Colorado State for David Roddy. So you don't necessarily have the players who have the best shooting talent in this draft. You don't have the players who project to be just extremely good shot creators. But what you do project is players who will be able to, however the Grizzlies work with them to develop, you have players who show the intelligence and the instinct to know how to be able to find ways to get their shot off. And when they do, it's very likely that it's going to be a high percentage shot, or it's going to be the best shot that was available on that possession. That's what the Grizzlies wanted. Again, as good as the Grizzlies have been doing and improving their overall three-point percentage, improving their overall three-point attempts, the improvements that they showed in the playoffs, they still lacked a bit when it came to the consistency of finding the best shot possible. Jake LaRavia and David Roddy help out in those areas. That's from a skill set standpoint. From a roster standpoint, there also is versatility. You now have two players who could play that 3-4 position quite well. And the reason why the Grizzlies prioritized going with LaRavia and David Roddy, and in the process, were willing to trade away De'Anthony Melton, who's got more of a wing-type skill set but in a smaller body, is because it's very hard to find quality depth in combo forwards that you could trust to play the 3 or 4 and spend time out on the perimeter. It's a lot harder to find that type of talent than it is combo guards in the NBA. That's the point that the Grizzlies were going after. To have depth in that combo forward position, we know Taylor Jenkins loves to go with different lineups based off matchups, based off gut feelings, what have you. Well, now we go back a year ago. Go back to June of 2021. We were debating whether or not the Grizzlies were going to pick up Justice Winslow's option to provide us depth at that combo 3-4 position. Fast forward a year later, we now have Zaire Williams. We now have Jake LaRavia. We now have David Roddy. That is a significant step forward in what was the biggest roster need for this Grizzlies team just a year ago. Now, are any of those players going to turn into significant, consistent, long-term starter-type talents to go with Ja, Bane, and Jaren? It's to be seen. But my point is that the Grizzlies at least now have multiple options that they can develop, that they can improve, that they've improved their chances of eventually finding that guy. And if it winds up being Zaire, well, now you've got some combo forward depth to back him up. So the whole point in the Grizzlies making the moves that they did is that they wanted to improve the shot quality slash value and more options on the court. But when it comes to the roster construction of this Grizzlies team, they wanted to get depth in a part of the roster that is harder to find than the type of depth the Anthony Melton provided, for instance. That's what stood out to me, and that's what Zach Kleiman talked about on Thursday night. So getting more options when it comes to better shot selection, better overall shots in general, and getting depth at the combo forward position. There's not much to explain when it comes to Kendi Chandler. You had a first-round talent who had dropped to 38, a Memphis kid who absolutely is connected with Ja Morant, the Grizzlies on many levels. And for more reason than any other team in the NBA, there was value in a fallen Kennedy Chandler on the draft board. So the Grizzlies were smart to go get him. Now, what that could mean, we'll discuss in just a moment. But in terms of Kennedy Chandler itself, at some point, you make some draft picks just because of the value being there. And Kennedy Chandler at 38 and his ties to Memphis, it was a no-brainer to go get him. And then, of course, Vince William, bit of an older prospect, but someone that has shown to be very versatile defensively as well as someone that can knock down shots and has shown the ability to where he can take on scoring responsibility if he needs to. So while most of the why is in Laravia and Roddy, and when it comes to Kennedy Chandler and Vince Williams, it was simply the Grizzlies going after value and also in their known two-way player, Kenneth Lofton, again, going after value. That's what it was at the end of the night. The Grizzlies filled a skill set need with Laravia and Roddy in terms of getting more depth when it comes to shot selection. They filled a roster need when it came to getting more depth at the combo forward position, and they went after value the rest of the way. From that perspective, it makes a lot of sense why the Grizzlies did what they did, and it makes it exciting to know just how much of a youth infusion we're once again getting into this roster so that we can maintain the depth that has been such an asset for the Grizzlies over the past 2 years. That is one thing that stands out about this draft. That should continue to be an asset for this team moving forward. But speaking of moving forward, what do these selections, I've mentioned it multiple times so far this offseason, what the Grizzlies did in the draft could give a clear indication of what potentially it means they could do later on this offseason. We'll discuss that in just a moment. But before we do, I want to talk with you a bit about betonline.net. Now, just like me and DeMichael told you, for weeks before the draft, you can bet that the Grizzlies are going to make some moves on draft night. I can tell you the best thing to do when it comes to betonline.net is take advantage of how easy it is to set up your bets. If you're someone that likes to bet and wager on sports, you don't want to have to waste your time every time you're placing a bet setting up the way that you do it. You want to do it once, set it up, make it easy for you moving forward so you can focus on the things you need to make sure the bets that you're making are good. BetOnline.net lets you do that. The fastest and easiest way for you to make your bets and wagers. Do it on your mobile device. Do it on your laptop. Wherever you choose to do it, BetOnline.net is going to be the best place for you to go. Check it out today. Again, can't thank you enough for making time to join us here for Locked On Grizzlies as well as listening to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Free on all podcast platforms. Free right here on YouTube as well. Just hit that subscribe button below. So the Grizzlies went out and they got combo forwards. Guys that can play the three, guys that can play the four. David Roddy may be even able to play the five, as Taylor Jenkins mentioned on Friday. They went out and got a point guard as well. Are we seeing a theme? Yes, the Grizzlies did go out and get youth, rookies, depth in the same type of positions that free agents Kyle Anderson and Tyus Jones play. The thing that I will say is that I think that what the Grizzlies did on Thursday is a lot more indicative or it is a much clearer sign for Kyle Anderson's future than it is for Tyus Jones's future. At the end of the day, the Grizzlies going to get Jake Laravia. The Grizzlies going to get David Roddy. Going to get a player in Jake Laravia who many compared him to Kyle Anderson. I do think the writing's on the wall. I think that unless it just makes sense for the Grizzlies to bring Kyle Anderson back on a contract that really is team-friendly, it probably makes sense for Kyle Anderson to move on to another team. Not necessarily want to see that happen. I feel Kyle Anderson is very valuable, but I do also think that in terms of the rotation players the Grizzlies want to have moving forward, they want more shooting potential in those players than they had in Kyle Anderson. So I do feel that the Grizzlies are making these moves because Kyle Anderson may not be the biggest priority moving forward. From Zach Kleiman himself, one of the questions that was asked on Thursday night, does the Thursday night draft activity in any way, shape, or form have an impact on Dylan Brooks? Zach Kleiman said no. There's no connection there. Dylan Brooks remains a big part of the future. Now, whatever that may mean, we'll wait to see. But with De'Anthony Melton now being traded, Zach Kleiman making a clear statement like he did on Thursday, I would imagine that it would take the right deal. And when I say a right deal, for Dylan Brooks to be traded, it would take the Grizzlies finding a team that valued Dylan Brooks enough to make him the prize of the package they're going to get. And in return, they're sending the Grizzlies a significant upgrade that was just a no-brainer for Memphis. Now, if you want to say that that's Kevin Durant, go ahead. I'm not going to buy into that until we get a bit more valid understanding that that may happen. But that's to discuss later down the road. But the biggest conundrum of all, what does all this mean for Tyus Jones? Now, if you've heard me, and I'm smiling right now because I'm going to smile, you've heard me say, I think Kennedy Chandler coming in playing 10 to 15 minutes a night, I think that he can handle it just fine for the Grizzlies. But the Grizzlies, to the point, it may not benefit them the most for him to be able to do that, for him to go through the growing pains. I do think that with De'Anthony Melton now being traded, and even though Kennedy Chandler was drafted, I do think that there still is a clear plan to bring Tyus Jones back. One connection that, you know, several of us, I believe, made, or I'll at least speak for myself, that I made, you know, over Thursday and Friday night, is that it seems like there is a connection. It seems like David Roddy is connected to Tyus Jones, not to the level of, I don't think, but kind of similar to how Kennedy Chandler is connected to Ja Morant in terms of, you know, two players that are really, you know, that are friends, what have you, else off the court. There is plenty of reason to bring Tyus Jones back. Even if Kennedy Chandler, the plan may be for a year or two from now for him to come in and be the backup point guard, because perhaps the Grizzlies can retain him on a cheaper second contract longer in his career. That may be the long-term goal. I think Kennedy Chandler is a true long-term play. I do feel, though, the Grizzlies trading away De'Anthony Melton, one of the biggest things that the Grizzlies do put faith in, it seems, is Tyus Jones's shooting. And so I do think that that may mean you may get more minutes of Tyus Jones maybe playing with Ja. You may see different lineup combinations where Tyus has featured more. But the other big key that I will say is this, is that if you invest in Tyus Jones, you're also investing in Ja Morant, who the Grizzlies are about to extend in a week or so. And what I mean by that is that the Grizzlies are going to be paying Ja Morant. They're going to give him a max second contract because of the difference he can make in high leverage and playoff situations. They're going to pay him to be the face of the franchise at the times that it matters most. And that's when the Grizzlies are fighting to win playoff series, to win championships. The way that that may look is Ja Morant only playing 65 to 70 games during the regular season like he did this past year. And in that situation, the Grizzlies now have multiple years worth of proof that when Ja Morant is out, they can still play winning regular season basketball when Tyus Jones is on the court. And Tyus Jones has also proved that he can hit big-time shots in the playoffs, something that De'Anthony Melton struggled to do. So one of the reasons why the Grizzlies are likely going to look to still invest in Tyus Jones is not only because of the player and the value Tyus Jones offers, but it's also because they know this team can remain productive, can remain a winning team, even if Ja Morant is not playing, because of how well Tyus performed this past year when stepping up into a starting role. So the reason why the Grizzlies invested in Kennedy Chandler is a long play. Is perhaps eventually, if Tyus Jones becomes a bit too expensive, even if the Grizzlies re-sign him now, if in the future he becomes too expensive again, they've got another plan. But the Grizzlies investing in Kennedy Chandler, and the Grizzlies likely investing in Tyus Jones, is them also investing in Ja Morant. Yes, the Grizzlies are about to offer a max contract extension off a rookie contract to their franchise-based point guard in Ja Morant. So you wouldn't think that they would then potentially pay eight figures per year to a backup of his while also just having gotten great value in investing in a high second-round pick in a point guard. That may not make that much logic, but again, it goes back to what the Grizzlies need to do to make sure Ja Morant is at his best when it matters most. And so if keeping him fresh means that he misses 15 to 20 games during the regular season, then the Grizzlies are investing in other options that can allow for them to still play winning basketball. And even when Ja's playing, they're investing in options that can allow for them to manage Ja's minutes. That's the whole goal of all this. And it also is nice to know that that point guard, that backup point guard in Tyus Jones, that can step up as a starter, lead the second unit, he also was a pretty darn good shooter this past season. So the fact that the Grizzlies picked Kennedy Chandler does not in any way, shape, or form indicate, in my opinion, that they're ready to move on from Tyus Jones. It's just an extra astute move, an extra layer of the Grizzlies investing. If you want to call it insurance, if you want to call it support, what have you, they're investing in options that can help them best allow Ja Morant to be at his best when it matters most. And that's a smart move. Those are the type of moves. Those moves such as this that may not seem that logical, but when you really think about it, it makes a lot of sense. Those type of moves, that's the value being added from the front office to support the coaching staff and the roster that small market teams need to survive and survive long term. This offseason, while it's probably going to be remembered for the offseason that Ja Morant became the highest Grizzlies player in franchise history, one other narrative that could be remembered from this offseason is how smart the Grizzlies were in investing in the point guard position behind Ja Morant to keep him as fresh as possible moving forward. Can't thank you enough for joining us here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Obviously, you can find myself at StatsSAC, my co-host DeMichael Cole at DeMichael C on Twitter, the show at Locked On Grizz right here on YouTube as well. Just hit that subscribe button below. Until next time, we'll talk to you again soon here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.